Our second speaker this morning is our brother John Sivier of the Cumberland Adelaide South Australia Ecclesia. The theme for Brother Sivier's classes this week is As It Was in the Days of Noah. Today's class is entitled The Day of Small Things. Brother John.
Brother Gary, my dear brethren and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. A question has been asked about the homework sheet, the colouring in sheet. That sheet only deals with that information in the night vision section. And therefore the early verses of chapter 1 don't deal with the visions, and after chapter 6, of course, those chapters don't deal with the vision. So it's not a Bible marking project that covers all of Zechariah. It is simply the section dealing with the visions. Also at the front here is a copy of the transparencies that we've been using with the visions. I really didn't want the thunder stolen too early, but you can now have those after, because today we are up to vision 5. After the fourth vision, which we considered yesterday, we come to chapter 4, and in verse 1 it records there that the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. As a man that is wakened out of his sleep. It leaves you with the impression that after the fourth vision, Zechariah returned to sleep, and then he was woken again by the communicating angel. Although Rotherham has, and once more the messenger who was speaking with me roused me up, just as a man might be roused up out of his sleep. And the angel said unto me, What seest thou? There was something to be seen. The angel asked the question, wanted Zechariah to take in detail and interpret it. What do you see, Zechariah? I looked, and behold, a lampstand, all of gold. He saw a lampstand made of gold. He saw that there were two pipes coming down to the base of that lampstand, and these two pipes came from a branch either side on an olive tree either side of this golden lampstand. What do you see, Zechariah? What Zechariah saw there with the two olive trees, the two branches, the two pipes, the oil, the bowls, the lamps. We read in the record, verse 4, I answered and said, What are these, my Lord? He didn't know. Now surely that lampstand would have been familiar. The tabernacle? The lampstand in the tabernacle? Then there had been the temple and Solomon, and inside the lampstands again. Five on one side in the holy place, five on the other side. We are familiar, after Zechariah's day of course, down to AD 70, when Rome came in, took Jerusalem. There was the Arch of Titus built in Rome. Here's the Roman road, still there today. You can walk along the Roman road. Paul walked along that Roman road when he was taken to the Forum as a prisoner. Still there today. And there they put the Arch of Titus. And as you look at the engravings on the Arch of Titus, there's the lampstand. Zechariah would have known what that lampstand was. And yet in verse 5, then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? He should have known the angel's question, the answer to it. What was it saying, brothers and sisters? The angel was saying to Zechariah, haven't you understood the previous visions? As much as he should have understood it? What about us? Here it's day 4. We're into the 5th vision. Looking at the same visions. And now this vision. Do we know? Zechariah said he didn't know. The angel said in verse 6, he answered and said, this is the word of Yahweh unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith Yahweh of armies. The angel rebuked Zechariah. He should have known. Zechariah chapter 4, dramatic chapter. It's a key to Zechariah's book. This is a powerful chapter here. The lesson must not escape us this morning. The chapter is full of questions by Zechariah and by the angel. Lots of questions, only 14 verses. Simple questions, simple answers, but profound. Verse 6, the most important verse in the book of Zechariah. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. These studies, these visions, we've been shown many things. We should be comprehending these things. The angel's questions, why hadn't Zechariah understood? Surely the answers should have been obvious. They had seen Zechariah had seen the first vision. There were the angels. There were the horses, the earth in peace, the final picture of it all. And then the second vision, the carpenters, the 4 carpenters, destroying all the opposition. Zechariah had seen that. And then came the third vision, the man with the measuring line. Jerusalem to be measured, no boundaries. Priesthood established, day of the kingdom. And so in yesterday's class, in the 4th vision, there was the priesthood aspect. And now we come to this next vision. And Zechariah is saying he doesn't know, he doesn't understand. All those visions, angels at work, fulfilling God's work on behalf of his people, Joshua, his companions, men of sign, God's servant, the branch, God's purpose will be accomplished, promise of glory, future, not by, verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, this will happen. Not by might, not by flesh, not by power, not worldly things, but by spirit. God's power, his spirit would overcome the obstacles. He would accomplish the work in Zechariah's day and in the future to the kingdom of God. The spirit of God, the power of God, not spirit gifts. This is talking about the spirit of God, his word, the word of God. Verse 7, another question. Who art thou, O great mountain? And in this 5th vision, there was a mountain. What's this mountain? It's in the background. How will it become a plain? There was a question. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. A mountain will become a plain. What's the symbol of a mountain? Then it also records there in that verse 7, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Here's a headstone on top of the building. A predominant factor of the destruction of this mountain, destroying a mountain, making it a plain, is that there'll be a headstone in the picture. The laying of a headstone. Another question, verse 10. Who hath despised the day of small things? The angels asking the question. Verse 11. Then I answered, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side? What are these two trees? Zechariah asks it. No answer. And I answered him again and said again, what be these two olive branches through which there are two golden pipes going into that container there with the oil? What are these? Verse 13, the angel answered, don't you know, Zechariah? Then in verse 14, the angel said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. End of the vision. Eight questions. All to do with what's before Zechariah. The lampstand, the bowl, the pipes, the trees, the mountain, the headstone, the measuring line and so on. It's all between in the vision of Zechariah. All these questions comes right down to the two pipes. There's a progression. Begins with a lampstand and goes through to the trees. And then it comes down to the two pipes. Verse 12, the two pipes. What be these two olive branches which through which two golden pipes empty the oil? Knowest thou not what these be, Zechariah? And the answer in verse 14, the first answer to these questions is the answer to the last question. These are the two sons of oil. They represent the two sons of oil. Who are they? Vision 4, chapter 3, was associated with Joshua. Vision 5, chapter 4, it's associated with Zerubbabel. Central figure of this chapter, Zerubbabel, the civil leader. You look, verse 6. This is the word unto Zerubbabel. Verse 7, O great mountain before Zerubbabel. Verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel. Verse 10, the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, back from Babylon. Decree of Cyrus, you can build the temple. When they came to Jerusalem, they found hostile opposition, difficult problems. Brethren and sisters, they had mountains of problems. Enormous mountains. How would they overcome? Not by their power. Not by their might. But by the Spirit of God. And so in that record, in verse 2, it spoke about this lampstand, the seven-branched lampstand. Familiar, as we've seen. Tabernacle, temple, down to Herod's day, AD 70, and the branches of that tabernacle were fed with oil. Daily, by the priests. In Zechariah's vision, this oil is supplied without any aid of a man. There is a permanent supply of oil coming down through two pipes into this container. No one going and filling each day. a permanent supply. There's a symbol here involved with immortality. And the pipes are casting of metal. They were tubes, gold tubes, symbol of faith. This lamp represents the true light of God's word, a representation of the complete faith ministered through his priest to illuminate the minds of men in the tabernacle and in the temple, but that was only done by the exclusion of any other light. The only light that Israel could see was the light of that lampstand in the temple, but now this goes far further than that. This lampstand is a symbol of the end product of all this. Brother Brad, in his session this morning, began with the seven ecclesias. Revelation 1 began with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lampstand, or lampstand with seven lights representing the seven ecclesias. Seven. Spiritual perfection. Here was a symbol of the representation of all. There were more than seven ecclesias in Asia Minor in that day. Why did Christ only have John record letters to seven ecclesias? There was a spiritual perfection about this seven. I mean, there was Colossae, no letter to Colossae. Why that as a symbol opening Christ's last words to the ecclesias? Because the ecclesias, as we've been reminded this morning, are the source of the light of the word. A light shining before people. Ye are lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, Matthew 5 has. Israel was an olive tree. Its root down there in Abraham, man of faith. Romans 11 tells us that some of the branches of that olive tree withered. They died, they were broken off. And the wild olive branches were grafted in. Here we have in this fifth vision, two olive trees. There's a Jewish olive and a Gentile olive. And those pipes are coming from one branch on the Jewish olive tree and one branch on the Gentile olive tree. They're not coming from all the branches. And these tubes are gold, a symbol of a tried faith. Not every Jew is going to be in the kingdom. Not every Christadelphian is going to be in the kingdom. But those with the faith, tried faith, the faithful to the end. So not everyone on those trees will see this day. But those who do, there's the symbol. Wonderful principles here. Jews and Gentiles, two branches, Jewish ecclesia, Gentile ecclesia. But the golden ones, brethren and sisters, they'll be there. Christ in Revelation, as we've been reminded this morning, warned the brethren that he would extinguish that light in their meeting if they didn't repent. The faithful ones, golden pipes, golden oil. Out of the two golden pipes, the oil related to the pipe cannot be separated. It's a work of faith. The source of light is a work of faith. And so we preach. The word begins at home, at children, in our ecclesias, and it spreads to the preaching of the gospel beyond our community. How critical is the preaching work? Many ecclesias today, of course, don't have so many interested friends anymore. We've got our children there, our teenagers there. Every time we have a seminar or a lecture, whatever, look at the children from our families. That's where the foundations are being laid. And then we look at the gospel work further afield, out of the Western nations, and there's the light all around the world, these little lampstands. Last days. Exciting times. And there was that mountain in the background, a symbol of power, but fleshly power. We know how Jeremiah records in chapter 51 that Babylon was a destroying mountain. And now these exiles had come home from a destroying mountain environment. And although Babylon had not in the days of Zechariah been destroyed, Darius had taken it, but the way Darius acted, he didn't go and burn and plunder cities. He was quite different from most who dominated ancient times. They hadn't been reduced to the state that it exists today. But the first blow in the conquest of that Babylonian mountain had been done by Cyrus. And our minds now go to the mystical Babylon of our day, and we think about Daniel's prophecy, for example, and the little horn. Here we are, back to horns again. All these visions, all tying up Scripture. And there's that little horn in that shocking beast, didn't even have a name. The beast was so awful. Babylon of the latter days. What a mountain. Anyone who's been to the Vatican feels that when you walk into the Vatican, the power of that place, the control of that place over peoples. When we were there, there was someone, not the Pope himself, but a very high-ranking official sitting in this great seat on a platform, and up were coming people in pairs with gifts. Dozens and dozens of them. They came up, they bowed, they handed him a gift, and they walked off the other side of the platform. And the next two came and handed a gift and walked off. And this went on and on and on and on. Revelation, isn't it? And you go to that place and all the mysticism and so on. It's the book of Revelation. You come away feeling that book of Revelation is so accurate. So what does Revelation say? Look at chapter 17. Last words of Christ. Last days, our day. Revelation 17. Verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. It's a mountain of power. A brother was saying here just earlier on in the week that in the UN Assembly Hall there's a whole row of seats for the Vatican. They don't have a vote, but there's a whole row of seats there that they can sit in. Imagine the intimidation if they fill up those seats and you're going to vote something. Chapter 16, verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. God will intervene. And great Babylon will come in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Chapter 18, verse 18. Or perhaps coming back to verse 17, in 1 hour so great riches to naught. Verse 18, and when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city. In verse 21, and a mighty angel. The angels at work. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more. A mountain made a plain. In Zerubbabel's day, the Persian authority had stubbornly opposed the project to rebuild the temple. The Spirit of God intervened. A decree was issued by Darius. They could build it. A mountain was removed. And they built the temple. And 4 years later, it was finished. the problems of the Samaritans, they would be removed. That problem, that mountain, became a plain. God in control. Angels at work. Brothers and sisters, mountains are symbols of problems. When those problems then become God's, they can be removed. That's the lesson here for us. In practicing the truth, God can remove problems. We go to our God in prayer. We tell him everything. Even though he knows it anyhow, before we even say the words, he knows what we're going to say. But we take those words to him in prayer, like our children come to us. We know what they're going to say, but we want them to come to us. The Father wants us to take our problems to him. And some problems seem such huge mountains, we feel we'll never, ever remove them. And years later, we look back and we see that God removed those problems. You know, what is a problem to a 15-year-old at 18 is insignificant in life. But at 15, it's a massive problem. Maybe the breakup of a first relationship between a girl and a boy, it's the end of the world for a young person. 2 years later, they look back and think, what an idiot. And something that is so critical to a 20-year-old when they're 25 really wasn't very important anyhow. But at the time, they are mountains. And God can help us. He can remove mountains, start leveling down mountains, and many become a plain. Well, there was this headstone. In the vision. The headstone. Verse 7 of Zechariah 4. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Now this is not the foundation stone. That foundation stone had already been laid. Now Zerubbabel, in this vision, is going to bring forth the headstone. What encouragement! The headstone, right at the top. The building will be finished. Zerubbabel's work will be completed. He'd laid the foundation of the house. His hands would also finish it. And we read in verse 10, for they shall rejoice and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. And there's Zerubbabel and there's the plummet in his hand. The measure for the building of the temple, ensuring the accuracy of that building. It's in the hand of Zerubbabel. He's the builder of the temple. That building work would go ahead. It would be finished. He would put the stone on the top. There's the evidence of God's Spirit when problems were removed. Brothers and sisters, when we see things accomplished in the truth, in the right attitude, we know the angel of God has been encamping around us. Even though the angels were not, Zerubbabel didn't see the angels. The people working there didn't see the angels. That headstone finally went up on top. There they were watching Zerubbabel up the scaffold, placing that final stone on the top, and they rejoiced that day. And there were the angels. Rejoicing. The work was finished. And there was the headstone. And so in verse 10, who hath despised the day of small things? Many, as we indicated, wept that day when they remembered Solomon's temple and all the glory. But there were others that day who rejoiced. A ceremony, a public celebration, thanksgiving, joy. And there you can picture Zerubbabel up on that scaffold, stone laid. Grace, grace, not glory to men or nations, but to God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, God said, this would happen. This building would be completed. And the angels would have rejoiced that day. My dear brothers and sisters, in the day of small things, let us value the little opportunities we have. The little things in the truth. The day of small things is today. But that day of small things will finish up part of the work, part of the encouragement, part of the enthusiasm that we can manifest that will help us in the mercy of our God reach the end product, the day of the kingdom. So there's chapter 3. Joshua, priestly aspect of the branch. Here in this chapter, chapter 4, we've got Zerubbabel representing the civil authority, in effect the kingship aspect of the branch. Priest and king in symbol, men of sign. They were set apart by their office, by anointing. Two anointed ones, the angel said. That was his answer to all those questions. The last question was answered. Two anointed ones, two sons of oil, Joshua, Zerubbabel, representative men of what will happen in the future. The ultimate scene, the vision of Christ surrounded by his faithful saints, the pouring of oil, the principles of God throughout all the earth, the great mountain of the Babylonian apostasy destroyed. And remember in verse 1 that Zechariah had been wakened out of a sleep for this vision. It was future. It was a picture, really, of the resurrection. It was like Daniel in Babylon. We run back to Daniel chapter 10. Brethren have been commenting about the links with Daniel chapter 10 during the week. Let's just for a few minutes go back to Daniel chapter 10. This is like Daniel in Babylon. Now they've just come out of Babylon. Zechariah knew all about Daniel. He should have been reflecting on what happened with Daniel, what Daniel's writings were. And yet he's saying, what are these? What's this about? Daniel 10 and verse 7. Daniel alone saw the vision. He saw a vision. He knew God was at work. He was left alone. He had no strength. It was like being in the article of death. It records there for us in verses 7 and 8. Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me didn't see the vision. But there was a quaking. They fled to hide, and I was left alone, and I saw this vision, and there was no strength in me. My comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I didn't have any strength at all. And verse 10, behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. In verse 9, he had been on his face on the ground, like in a deep sleep. And out of that article of sleep, he was woken, progressively touched, knees, life, but human weakness. And in verse 11, he stood there trembling. In the little parable, in the scenario, he's still in his mortality. Verse 14, now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. It's all about the last days, this vision. And then in verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground. I became dumb, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. He was very weak. Here's the humility before the judge. No strength of his own. No power. No might. Confession of human weakness. And verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. and he strengthened me. That's what Gabriel did to Daniel. Gabriel! There had been Gabriel alongside Zechariah, telling him about this vision, asking all these questions. Zechariah, don't you know what was said to Daniel? What about our position, my dear brethren and sisters, in our work in the truth? Build, not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit we work and we build. Christ has not only laid the foundation of the spiritual temple, he will complete it at his second coming. The last stone upon the spiritual house must surely be about to be laid. The last son or daughter in the spiritual house, and our Lord will be in the earth. We'd probably reflect as we think about that headstone on Christ as the stone. It was smashed at the feet of the image of the kingdoms of men, the stone power. And look at the quotes that deal with the stone. And on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And then the kingdom grows. And we could think about those things. And as that vision that day encouraged Zechariah, encouraged Zerubbabel, the builder, even though he didn't know, but Zechariah would go to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the work will be finished. Continue the building. On we go. Build, be active in the truth, placing confidence in the Spirit of God as the eyes of the angels are ever present. And the brethren and sisters that day, in Zechariah's day, ordinary people, just ordinary brethren and sisters, just like the brethren and sisters in this hall this morning, just ordinary people. People of the day, simple in their faith, had their doubts, had their problems, had sometimes confusion. No different today. But they built. They continued that work. There in the rubble, in the dust, but they built it. They finished it. Difficult days. And we sit here this morning, a very comfortable room, air conditioned, all the things, all the resources that we need. Let us reflect about their day. Struggling, the dirt and the dust and the heat and the doubts and the problems and the opposition. But they were labouring. And there was the man Joshua. He would be priest. The temple would be finished. He would have his office. But nowhere to operate from at that particular time. And there was Zerubbabel, the governor, without any teeth, really. What did he have to govern from? Pile of ruins. It was a time of laying down the foundation stone. But the visions built up around these people had a picture that went on to Christ and the saints. And the question is, do we gain out of those visions? Do we see these things? Or do we just say, oh yes, Joshua is a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ as a high priest, and Zerubbabel there is a representative that Christ will sit as king. No, brothers and sisters, we've got to see these things as real people, God at work, angels at work. Reactions, difficulties, that's how they handle those things. That's life. It's the real world. We see the reality of these things, and that's what these visions can do to us. And they are strong here at Shippensburg. And we talk to each other and we feel built up. We feel like we can go out and we can try a little harder and hang on and wait for our Lord to come. But what about the middle of next week? Back at school, at work, and the pressures and the pile of things on the desk or the jobs to be done or whatever. What about then? What about next month? Not so easy. what will we think about then? We need to keep this vision. See the day of the kingdom. To see that day. That temple will be built. Whether we're there or not, it will be built. Christ will sit on the throne. He will be the King Priest. And the multitudinous Christ, as seen in the cherubim, will be there. Here they are seen in a manifestation of implementing the judgments upon the earth. All the noise and the lightning and the flashing and so on when Ezekiel saw that vision. And then the wings were let down. And there was silence. The work of judgment on the nations was over. Now it was time for the kingdom to be in operation. And in that day, as we go into that great temple, we pray. As immortals, one with Christ, as we enter in by the east gate, as we come in through those gates on the east, and we come into that outer court, maybe our minds will come back to Shippensburg and this Bible school. And then we go across the outer court and we go into the inner region of the temple. And we come to those inner buildings. And as we walk up those steps, there are the cherubim figures. Two faces now, not four. The original cherubim had four faces, as seen by Ezekiel. There was the lion and the ox and the man and the eagle. But in the temple, only two. There is the lion face and the man face. No eagle. No ox. Why? The eagle, a symbol, the eagle up in the heights soaring around, was a symbol of the visions. Things yet to come. Brothers and sisters, in that day, we're there. No more need for a vision. We're there. The ox, the symbol of the labour. Over. Finished. We're immortal. We're in the kingdom. We're there with Christ, one with him. But the face of the man and the face of the lion remain. The lion of the tribe of Judah. King. The face of the man, priest, Christ, the high priest, king, his saints, king, priest with him. Those faces are still there. That's what Zechariah saw. And my dear brothers and sisters, that's what we've been privileged to see here at this school.